Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome to the inner city, inner city, inner city.
Your love lit up this whole neighborhood. But now that you're gone, you know the sun don't shine from the city hall to the county line. And that's why I said ain't no love in the heart of the city.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's a wonderful Friday. I am your host, Valentin O'Brien. Numerous alias, Scoochie Scrooge Daddy, so many nicknames. Telephone numbers tonight, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and you could text us, powered by BTC at 422-GR96. I want to give out some special requests. For assistance from a wonderful company to Bahamas base, to Franny and to Miss Joanna Joey Higgs, for their assistance on a cleanup effort that is going on in the grandstand area, in particular the Lewis Street, Hayes Street, Taylor Street, and many of the side corners. They have been assisting us now with our private sponsors for the last 6 months, but over the course of the years, Bahamas Base has been assisting me with the cleanup program going on 7-8 years. They have been assisting on the advice of the Rotary Club of East Nassau. So I want to send out a special request to Bahamas Base, and again to Ms. Higgs, and again to Franny, for such a wonderful job you're doing to help beautify and clean up the inner city community. Okay? And we have, and tonight we're going to have a wonderful conversation. Tonight, we're going to talk about developing the future leaders of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, even if they are part of a political organization. This is something that I was very interested in. I have some very special guests in studios, but before we, let them introduce themselves before we go any further.
Well, good evening. Thank you, Scrooge. My name is Ahmad Burns, Chairman of the Progressive Young Liberals.
My name is Braxton Bowe. I serve as chaplain of Progressive Young Liberals.
Okay, that's wonderful. You're a chaplain.
Yes, sir.
So you're going to guide them in the right manner.
Yes, sir.
So that means anyone who's wiring in the young liberals who are trying to become the future leaders of the country, mm-hmm. your job is to be a chaplain and teach them what is the right thing to do.
Yes, sir.
Seeking power, but also political office, knowing that you have at stake thousands and thousands mm-hmm. of people's lives at stake. So
yes,
that's
sir.
Your job. Wow,
yes,
this
sir.
Is going to be very interesting. Mm-hmm. But you guys are young. And before we get to our topic tonight, which also includes this, some things happened over the last few days that is being very heartfelt throughout the country. And, you know, it's like we're bouncing from here to here, you know, and we don't know where to focus our attention. Just recently, we're just going to comment on it for a few minutes, and you guys could also give your 5 cents on it. Just recently, we had an incident where we had a recording of a particular incident that happened in the police station where you could hear in the background there were some abuse going on, and it was recorded. And over the course of my time being on the show, as a former person who has been involved in illegal activity, basically, for most 20 years in my particular life, I've been held in custody numerous times. And I'm going to say this. What you see that was recorded is the invisible stuff I always talk about. This always happens inside the station. This is a constant repeat of itself. And there are good police officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force, mm-hmm. right? And there's those who abuse their authority. I don't think it's right for a person to be detained and put inside of a police station, which you're supposed to be protected. Once you're inside a station, you are supposed to be protected by the officers, not abused by the officers, no matter what. The only way there can be abuse or excessive force, I feel that if the police is trying to apprehend you and you behave in a manner where, you know, it's fitting for them to actually be aggressive. Mm-hmm. But when you're in custody, when you're in a station where you cannot escape, when there's bars, when there's numerous police officers on duty, there's firearms on duty, you know, and you are disadvantaged. And we have to look at these matters because it has been going on many years in this country. That's not the first case. Mm-hmm. There are thousands of cases go unnoticed in the country. And I would like to commend the young man for recording it because, see, mm-hmm. I always talk about this stuff. You know, I got it. That's why I got so rough. Mm. You know, that's why I got so rough when I, you know, I say, if I be a soft boy mm-hmm. and I let these police keep on hitting me, hey, they might end up killing me because we was accustomed to this. Now, this isn't all the officers on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Mm-hmm. This is something that is inherited. You see, this is something that is also inherited not only from the Royal Bahamas Police Force, this is inherited by some of our leaders in the country too. Mm. It's a way of practice. It's like the system, mm-hmm. you know. So this officer who behaved in this particular manner, he was trained that by a specific officer when he was younger. Mm-hmm. So he saw this happen. Mm-hmm. You see, this was what he was taught. You understand? So he himself mm-hmm. Was taught that. Mm-hmm. And today, other young officers mm-hmm. are being taught that type of behavior. Mm. And it needs to be rooted out.
That's right.
You understand? Because it makes no sense if we're in custody.
That's right.
Did you hear the abuse? We all heard it. Mm-hmm. And listen, that is a joke to compare what is actually going on.
That's right.
There are good police and there are bad police.
Facts.
Okay? But sometimes the good police is not going to say nothing because he's outranked. Mm-hmm. So he could be a good police sitting on a station and there's some type of abuse going on with a suspect. He wants to speak out. He might speak out, but he's outranked. The officer tell him, be quiet. Huh? Mm-hmm. I said superior. And as much as he wants to speak out, he can't do nothing because he got to listen to his superior. You understand? So we have to look into these matters because what people must understand, hey, this goes on a daily basis. And the thing is, right, the young man, is he a Bahamian? Mm-hmm. And is the Royal Bahamas Police Force officer, is he Bahamian? You see, we have a serious problem. He's a Bahamian, and he's a Bahamian. One, who is abusing his power. And the most disturbing thing about the video, even though that particular officer got put on a leave, mm-hmm. the one who name did not call on the voice recording, the one who was saying, yeah, give it to him. Him. Mm. He just as bad, and he should get the same thing as what the senior police officer got.
That's right.
Because that tells you what goes on in the station.
That's
you
right.
heard it. So you think this just happened? So when you hear the commissioner of the police or the minister of national security, I personally know the minister of national security. Mm-hmm. I was a bad boy when he was a part of the Royal Bahamas Police, and I can say for his son, he never, in my eyes, abused nobody. He was mm-hmm. one who stood by the book.
Right.
But that means when he was in the station, another rogue officers mm-hmm. was doing their interrogation mm-hmm. that he interfered. Some mm-hmm. things he wouldn't interfere in because it's out of his hands and he don't want to be hated by certain officers.
That's right.
You can't see. I can read between the lines. I know these things. I've been experiencing these things. Mm-hmm. So some things he would speak out against even though he's a senior cop, but mm-hmm. some things he would let go on the station because it could be a crime where a 10-year-old boy get killed.
You're right.
And these police go and they go mm-hmm. and operate this guy and then they put it on the guy mm-hmm. and then we see the little bruises. Mm-hmm. But the public is all right with that. Mm-hmm. And on my end, when my brother and sister and his girlfriend got killed in Carmichael Road, mm-hmm. we saw on the news where the guy who's now released, who did nine years in prison, he's released now, who was convicted of manslaughter, mm-hmm. he was shown on TV and the whole country rejoiced mm-hmm. about him getting warm up from the police because he did a horrendous crime. or two of those guys. So in that case, we all rejoice about that. Now, in this case, when this innocent young man who did nothing, and we could hear the beating in the background, we feel that we're saying the police ain't supposed to be doing these things. So it's very confusing because now our attention is focused now to the 10-year-old who's getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
Now we want justice. We want the police to go and find this person no matter what. We don't care what happened to the person who's responsible for shooting this 10-year-old. We don't care what happens to them.
That's right.
If these police hold them right now, catch them in custody right now, and they're the one who's responsible, and they get beat bad and go before the nurse, we say, they deserve that. Which, mind you, they deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're asking for the death penalty, so I want to really get to our topic. Now we're asking for the death penalty. I heard a lethal injection. Now, mind you, I'm all for that. But the thing is, even if we was to implement that, we have a serious problem where we still get killers who still shooting this gun, and this is going to be around for the next 20 years because we're not addressing the matter properly. This is not the first 10-year-old got killed. This is not the first student got killed. Mm-hmm. This has been going on years after years, and we just switched the subject. You know why? Because we have serious matters that we need to deal with,
mm-hmm.
and the serious matter we need to say this. Hey, we have a problem with abuse on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Let's address this. Let's clear this up. Let's pass some laws that protect the citizens who are in custody so that if any charges are filed, it is dealt with immediately and effectively, and the officers can be punished. Understand? If you go out here and you commit a heinous crime and you were given a chance, means you had all the opportunity. We provided all the opportunity for you. As a citizen of the country, we provide education, we provide opportunity, eh? We provide the training for whatever you want in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you don't go out there and become an armed robber mm-hmm. or a rapist or a hitman, and you do that when the society helped you, there's programs, there's mm-hmm. tutoring, mm-hmm. there's, you know, benefits in your country, and you're not poor, and you're not in a single-parent home, and definitely if you go out and commit a serious offense, mm-hmm. I have no problem with you getting your neck popped because you had all the opportunity. The country provided,
right.
The citizens provided,
right.
The political parties provided,
right.
The pastors provided, and you choose, well, go out and get your neck popped. But until then, we have a lot of work to do. We have to address the police abuse.
Mm-hmm.
We have to address the issue of crime and murder in our country, and we have to address poverty. Now, you guys can comment on it before we get to your topic. Go ahead.
Well, you know, in terms of crime and in terms of the, you call it death penalty, I don't want to speak on that. But I do believe the police need more training, and I do believe Bahamians need to possibly be more productive in the sense of be less aggressive, don't indulge in crime, go to school, go to college, go to BTVI, these kinds of things.
I believe people should get more active in church because the Bible is very important when it comes to teaching you moral principles. So church is very important. They could join youth reform programs. As a matter of fact, Urban Renewal had a youth reform program where they helped the youths in many constituencies.
They did.
Hopefully, Urban Renewal can revive when the PLP win the upcoming election. Urban Renewal revives so young people can get more productive within Urban Renewal and then learn certain things, moral things to help them be more productive in life and so on and so forth, things like that.
Yeah.
Like even if they join the Progressive Young Liberals, they'll have a slew of things to do. Like we have motivational and educational success programs, resume building, dress etiquette, interview skills, communication skills, mentorship programs. We even have mini job fairs where we have certain private companies come together and we see where we could get them on board. But we deal with them first, we prepare them, get them ready, and then they could be able to do these sorts of things. So if you want, I'm saying to anyone out there, 16 to 35,
yeah.
Come and join the Progressive Young Liberals and come be a part of something that is great, something that will change your life. and something that will keep you out of the hands of the police. So we don't have to have this conversation about the death penalty, because young Bahamians are going to be successful once they walk through our programs.
That's right. And progressive young liberals seek to ensure that there is a PYL branch in each constituency in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, or on each campus of tertiary education or institution. As a national organization, the PYL would provide support to constituencies in the building of PYL branches within their respective constituencies.
Well, let me just give them a quick synopsis of our vision. Mm-hmm. It's just a one-liner. Mm-hmm. Empowering the youth of our nation to lead the next generation. That's what PYL is all about. And our leader, Philip Brave Davis, our deputy leader, Chester Cooper, they are fully on board with our programs. Our programs are, you know, really geared towards helping young persons become successful.
That's right.
And more productive citizens in life. And so join PYL, join the PLP.
That's right. Some of the things that PYL wants to do is, number one, remote careers, whereas we want to link Bahamians to opportunities all over the world. The pandemic accelerated a shift to remote work for many global companies. In addition, we want to do a first job apprenticeship program for Bahamians between the ages of 16 to 25 to gain a one-year government-subsidized placement in a field of national priority, including in the new economies and trades. A 50-50 funded partnership with the private sector. In addition, we want to establish a national youth guard for young people to receive technical and training, enabling them to serve in the disaster response corps. So these are just some of the things we have planned to do.
Not to cut you off, that last part you read with the call, that is something Master Lyndon Pinden tried to introduce many years ago with the different training, you know, because like right now in our country, we need for the parties to really say, let's focus on these type of programs, because we have a high unemployment in the country.
That's right.
Low skill set for our citizens in the country, especially the 15, the 16, and 25-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so this would be very important now that you guys are young. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm having you guys with you, because, you know, you are the next generation of leaders.
That's right.
And we have to be able to give you a platform so that when you come out here, right, you understand the need that when you speak this word, you mean this word, and you can implement this, and you're gonna go out and scribe and see that, hey, you can make a difference.
That's
see,
right.
I feel that it has to be a strong individual. What makes the next strong individual? Mm-hmm. Your determination, get precious determination for one goal.
That's right.
For all those phrases and paragraphs you read just now, your heart and dedication, right? Mm-hmm. Will change all that and make you guys strong. So go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically, Braxton was explaining everything. Not everything, but just a quick overview of what we intend to do. Yeah, so he was just giving you a quick overview of what we intend to do, you know. And so when they talk about politics being bad, I tend to shy away from that kind of language, because, you know, there's so much good in politics, because our leaders allow us to do so much good things, you know, in terms of helping us with funding, us with the resources and persons that are able to help us with these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And so when persons say, oh, why did you choose the PLP? I tell them, listen, I came from nothing, right? I came from nothing. I came from poverty. And when I came to the PLP, I saw that connection. I saw that willingness to want to help, that willingness to want to build young persons. And if you look at my start in the PLP about, you know, 4 years ago, you can see my development. And so I invite anyone who wants to develop themselves as a person in society, join the Progressive Young Liberals, join the PLP. There's different branches. There's the women's branch, there's the men's branch, and there's also the constituency branch.
Yeah.
And I think all of these platforms are good platforms for young persons to speak, come amongst each other and fellowship and do good things.
Yeah, that's right. I agree.
And great things come out of those different departments you talked about. You talked about the women's branch. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a good example how you make change. I think it was 10 years ago, I got an invite from the women's branch of the Progressive Liberal Party. Mm-hmm. I did an article in the Guardian and the Tribune mm-hmm. on the States about how I wanted to develop the Grandstand area with $1.2 million and what can mm-hmm. I do with community centers mm-hmm. and developing the parks and
right.
Small business mm-hmm. and clean up the area for the tourists. So I got invited on my expertise as a former gang leader mm-hmm. and also as a leader to give my expertise on what mm-hmm. we can do as a woman branch to give to the leaders of the mm-hmm. party. And one of the things that we talked about is how this is going to be effective, because you know mm-hmm. there's a lot of talk sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? So they said this isn't going to be no talks. Mm-hmm. We're serious about that. That's why I say woman leaders mm-hmm. are very powerful.
Oh yeah.
So at that particular time, Cheryl Wilson, mm-hmm. the wife of Frankie Wilson, she was the mm-hmm. chairwoman of the mm-hmm. women's branch of the Progressive Liberal Party. Mm-hmm. And we had a sit down with our team. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who all was present, but I think it was about 20 persons present in a room. Mm-hmm. And I was the guest mm-hmm. and who gave my opinions. And we came up with great ideas like second chance mm-hmm. For the offenders out there. We came up with entrepreneurship, mm-hmm. you know?
Wow.
And this what happened at the women's branch of the Progressive mm-hmm. Liberal Party. And when we finished, we was there present for about 2 to 3 hours, mm-hmm. Cheryl Vincent. And she asked me a specific question on why should we do this? Mm-hmm. Why should we give someone second chance? Mm-hmm. And I explained to the situation that there's poverty, mm-hmm. the community is actually don't have no mm-hmm. no structural leaders, you know, it's mm-hmm. just drug dealers, armed mm-hmm. robbers, and murderers. And then there's good people, but it's all a mixture, you know, and everyone is poor, and everyone is struggling, so everyone is making bad choices and bad decisions, mm-hmm. teenage pregnancy, you know. Mm-hmm. You know. So anyway, at the end of the day, we finished, mm-hmm. and then we came up with a 10-point plan, mm-hmm. and then Ms. Wilson, Cheryl Wilson, that's why I respect her. She mm-hmm. said, Scrooge, Valentino, I'm going to make sure, give this to the leader, mm-hmm. of the party. Mm-hmm. I mean, at the time, it was Mr. Christie, was the opposition leader, mm-hmm. and she presented it. Mm-hmm. When they won the government, I heard it pass, and I was the parliament on second chance. So mm-hmm. that's how you make change. Just
right.
by me presenting mm-hmm. myself to the women's branch of the Progressive Liberal Party, mm-hmm. me and Cheryl Wilson were together on the mm-hmm. team, and then we came up with great ideas, mm-hmm. and then she took that to the leaders of the party, and those was passed in the House of Assembly.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Not only with her, also with former Minister of National Security, Tommy mm-hmm. Tuanquest. My name mm-hmm. called in Parliament also again.
Okay,
so
okay.
you see how changes
yeah.
come.
Right.
Those things pass and they're benefiting.
Yeah.
The laws now that you see are mm-hmm. happening with second chance. Mm-hmm. That's the work of us and Ms. Cheryl Wilson and the women's branch of the Progressive Liberal Party. So mm-hmm. that's why I encourage young boys into joining political parties.
Yeah,
if they
right,
have
yeah.
those kind of input,
that's yeah. right.
you could be the change, because mm-hmm. you know, you don't have to be elected. Mm-hmm. You just got to be a person who makes sense.
That's right.
And that person takes that information and they present it. And that's why we have these programs and government mm-hmm. Saying now, second chance. We hear it from the prison. We hear it from the political parties. Mm-hmm. And we also hear it from the Royal Bombers Police mm-hmm. Force, because now mm-hmm. they understand, and this brings down the family of minor marijuana, because right. all these topics that were brought up.
Yeah, yeah.
So you see, that's right. how change comes. Go ahead.
Yeah. So one of our great initiatives we want to really kick off is our leadership and entrepreneurship skills development program. Mm-hmm. Why we really focus on that too is because we realize the future in the Bahamas is small business, big business, and business in general.
Right.
And so, you know, the other day I was on the ground in Fox Hill. I was on the ground in Fox Hill with Mr. Mitchell. I was on the ground in Freetown with Mr. Monroe. And what I kept noticing amongst the young persons were they were all saying, I want to start my own business. I want to start my own business.
That's right.
And so that's why PYL is now focusing on creating programs surrounding entrepreneurship and business. You see, so we're going to be collaborating with Toastmasters program
mm-hmm.
and the Junior Achievement mm-hmm. program to bring it all together. I'm a member of Toastmasters Club 1600.
Okay.
And I can tell you the program works. And so I'm going to be using, at least we're going to be partnering with Toastmasters Club 1600
yes.
to help develop young men and young women to become business owners, to teach them the process of starting a business, how it really works. This, we want them to have other avenues. So we don't, like I say again, we don't have to talk about the death penalty. We don't have to talk about creating another prison because it's overflowing. We could say, let's develop these young persons, and now they become productive citizens. And now our GDP changes. And now we're looking at different economies because young men are saying, listen, I can do this, I can do that, I can do anything I put my mind to.
Why are you saying that? Why I got to believe any word you were saying? Why? This was something.
Listen.
Why?
Well, screw you.
I was asking a million times. Why?
Well, okay.
I can ask you why.
Why you should believe me? Well,
yeah,
like,
why?
Well, when you want to trust anything someone is saying, you look at their past to get some. Right.
Yeah.
You look at their past to get some kind of answer, right? So I'm not going to talk about past, but I'm going to say this. You've worked along with me in the schools.
Yes, sir.
In my programs.
Yes,
I ran those programs since 4 years ago.
That's right.
And so that's what it is.
That's why.
You know, my passion is helping persons. Even when I had nothing, I gave everything.
You're right.
And, you know, any program I run, I always put at the core of it, I have to feed my people because guess what? Jesus fed the 5,000.
Yes.
Amen.
So, you know.
Good answer. You gave a good answer.
Amen.
Because I was asked that question a million times. And the reason why he said his program, I met him a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a few years ago, and he invited me to come to
LW Young School
to be a motivator, speaker, and talk about gangs and the consequences of gangs. And I end up doing it with 3 seminars with him.
Yeah.
And he brought a guy who does business entrepreneurship. What's his name again?
I brought a few. I can't remember.
I brought a few.
And I brought our president, Shakoi Munnings. He's actually a businessman as well.
Right. Okay. And it was so amazing because they got a glimpse of different personalities coming in. We had poisons. He had different business set up, the phone guy.
Yeah,
and
everything.
You know, different stuff. So the kids were amazed.
Right.
And they got a little of everything. And I was explaining to them what would happen to you if you be a gangster.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Your anger come. You understand? Mm-hmm. I named all the friends that passed along the way who I was involved with and what happened to me in my situation. And the most important thing about it, he always talked about empowerment. And that's why I said this guy is for real.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so I think that him being a chairman and you being a chaplain, his experience, remember I told you, it has to be in your heart.
That's right.
He is one of those guys who came from nothing. And I believe deep down inside, I'm not saying with the political party, I'm talking to him as an individual. He means well.
Yeah.
He means well.
Yeah, he does.
He means well.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of growth
and
admired it. Me and Ahmad go way back.
We go way back.
Since high school.
Yes.
Yeah. And Ahmad, I mean, mature and such a wonderful young man. I mean, what he was in the past, what he is right now, is amazing. It's amazing. Like I say, he's a testimony.
See,
working along with youth, he's doing a lot.
Experience. And so let me say this to the leaders of the body. You talked about Fred Mitch. You talked about the Honorable Brave Davis. I hope they're listening. I hope they're listening because they need to listen because they say Brave came from a poor background and a humble background.
Mm-hmm.
So he is going to be reminded with you. See, he has to be reminded to you because it's the same thing. It's a different time.
Mm-hmm.
But your desire is to actually be the change wise you are part of this party. And the thing is, you don't even want to be a candidate.
No, I don't ever want to be those things.
I heard that's why I had you on the show.
Yeah,
I don't ever want to be a politician.
I want to, you know.
You just want to be in the party.
Right.
The persons who see the young talent and guide them the right way and develop them to teach them what you need to do.
At some point, I want to become one of the standard bearers, you know?
Oh, wow.
You know, and
that's
help
good.
Persons to develop themselves. If I see someone in my community who has the talent, who has the desire, I'll go there to them, stare them in the right way, get them ready, carry them through the ropes of the party, those kind of things. That's what I'm focused on. But do I ever go and sit in Parliament? That's not my thing, you know? First things first, some of my colleagues in Toastmasters Club 1600 said to me, Ahmad, do you think you have to go in Parliament to make change? And I said to myself, that was a serious question. And I pondered that for 3 years, and I came to that conclusion this year, that I don't have to go to Parliament to make changes happen in my
country. Why?
because I've been making changes happen even now.
You get it, you straight on you. You see, he made change because he went to the school. He started a program. Yeah. He got the principal. I was so amazed, you know. I said, wow, he had the principal there. He had the vice principal there. He had the teachers, them all on board.
Shout out to Ms. Wilmont, the teacher at L.W. Young. She's in charge. She started the L.W. Young Boys Club. So shout out to Ms. Wilmont. She's a real good woman, and she's really interested in developing the young Bahamians.
And I think the Boys Club, right? I think that the Boys Club in Nassau should be properly funded. I don't care.
Yeah.
All school should be probably funded.
Yeah, most definitely.
I'm talking $1 million off a year.
Yeah.
Because if we want to curve a 10-year-old from the next 10-year-old or 5-year-old or 1-year-old for being the next victim, mind you, we're going to have many more victims until we get this right.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me just remind you, this is not going nowhere, no time soon. I don't care how much hanging we do, all right? Unless we understand that that young man who pulled the trigger, who killed a 10-year-old, he was once a child.
That's right.
Yeah.
He was once one. He went to preschool. He went to primary school. And then he might have gone to junior school or high school. But what I'm saying is he was a child. He was a baby voice. You understand? And he ended up making the bad choices. And that bad choice, they caused the whole country feel the pain of that 10-year-old.
That's right.
Because, listen, when you look at your niece, your cousin, your nephew, that hurt everyone, man.
Yeah.
And the thing is, there's no woman. My friend Cece, I was giving her a ride today, and she told me that her friend to work, she worked for government. And she said, a 3 of those children are the woman children. Not only the one who gets shot. You can imagine that one of our child died, and I heard the next two's a child also.
Wow.
If I'm correct.
Jesus.
Wow.
How do you think she feels? What you could say to her? Let me ask you a question. What could you say to her?
I don't think it's nothing that can be said. You know.
That's
all I could say to young persons out there is, listen, conflict resolution. We need to find ways in which we can deal with our problems without pulling out guns, without even fighting. You know, Sun Tzu said the art of war is going to, one of the things you want to do is not go to war. If you can win the war without fighting, then that's good, right? And so that's why we're focused on so much things. We even have this conflict resolution and anti-bullying seminar we want to put on.
Let me ask you a question. I know you're serious and committed about this.
Right.
Right? If you all are successful in winning the general election, okay, what are they going to do with the progressive young liberals? Are y'all just going to be on layaway, or are they going to fund y'all? So you are the ones who are going to architect this program. So why is the senior officers are more involved in running the country? You guys could be more involved in getting the funding and running these programs, and y'all and make sure that y'all ideas are in all constituency, that all the ministers in those particular community resides on. You guys are saying, hey, are you cleaning up the community? Are you having activities on the park?
Yes, yes.
Are you empowering in your community?
I'm glad you speak of that.
That's what I want. Because young liberals should actually be that.
But hold on. Right now, we're actually working with policy makers within our party to develop programs now. So we're actually doing that now, and we're going to transition those once we win the government. We're going to transition those into all of the community centers. And one thing I want to say to you is the leader said this, that we're going to move away from the approach of saying that we cannot force the horse to the well to drink. Mm-hmm. We're actually going to force this horse now. Why? Listen to this. Mm-hmm. He's saying now, when we had the National Training Agency, we started out with 700 members. They started out with. Mm-hmm. And when it was time for graduation, they had about 200-something-odd members. And what he had learned is that some members stopped coming because they didn't have clothing. Some members stopped coming because they didn't have rides. Some members stopped coming because they didn't have food. And so what we're going to do now with our programs is we're going to go fully funded now. We're going to feed them. We're going to provide stipend for clothing, and we're going to provide transportation. So like you said, maybe we can talk about something like the death penalty after that, because we are going to fully fund programs all over this town that are going to really help Bahamians. And so it's up to them to take it. It's up to them to really utilize it and be productive. And I think at that point, then, what else could you say you want from the Progressive Liberal Party? And I could say this to you. I believe we're going to have another era where Bahamians are going to really see what their government is going to look like and what their government should look like when it serves the people. I really believe in that. I really believe in Philip Brave Davis. I really believe in that man. Like, I'm telling you. Yeah. Like, I believe if that man isn't the leader, I really believe in that man. I can't explain it, but I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I really believe in that man.
Well, I'm going to say this. You know, I'm a political organized man. I really don't like no politicians.
No, man.
I do. If you're doing good, if you're doing good. Now, I say nothing but Brave Davis, all right? But that's just me. But I mean, I appreciate the fact, and I see it from your heart. See, the influence. See, I respect that.
Yeah.
See, it's this aura. See, you got to understand something. When I was one of the leaders of the gang, I used to stand up. I used to walk on one side of the court, basketball court, all right? And I gave it an aura that when I went to the corner, and if there was a thousand young persons on the park, and I would go to the corner, and there are a couple other leaders on the park, everyone would leave from their respective corner and come stand where it was because I gave it a certain aura. So that's the aura.
Yeah.
And that's great because, see, you're attracted to him, and he's attracted to you guys. And that means, at the end of the day, if he's successful becoming the next prime minister of the Bahamas, he is going to empower you guys because you guys had his back, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about, change comes. You know, I hope the best that you guys are in the next general election because I see a lot of you guys getting power, especially young liberals. You all understand your task. You all could actually be like how Miss Wilson was, or Cheryl Wilson was, on how she was able to work alongside a young man like myself. And we were able to team up to come up with strategic plans that is actually, that are actually what all governments has manifested to actually improve on those 10 plans we gave to the Progressive Liberal Party. You understand? So that's how change comes. And then you guys could actually be the beacon because you guys are creative. And I got a question for you. You Mr.
Braxton Bow.
Mr. Bow. Yes, okay. We're hearing all this, right? But it's being said that we're looking at leader of the country right now, the Honorable Hubert Minnis. And some people are saying he is not a godly man. I'm not saying he is not a godly man, but many people are saying, on based on some of his character, he's not a godly man. I want to ask you because if you're a chaplain, right, and you are the one who's going to teach the younger generation on what's right, right, are you going to sit idly by and watch someone in the party who does things against the brother and sister, for instance, inside the domains of the party, okay? Because you're a chaplain, and if someone was to go astray, what would you do? Because you're a chaplain now.
Right.
Your job is God. Now, you're a part of a political organization, but wrong goes on in the party, and the chaplain or the pastor turns a blind eye to it, and it's called a blind eye. You yourself going to have to put your personal differences aside from Mr. Branks and stick with God. I just asked that question because it's very important.
I would help that person and not judge them.
Not judge them.
Mentor them.
Right.
Because you never know what someone is going through. Thank you. You never know what someone is going through. You know, from growing up in the church community, my parents are pastors.
Wow. So inherited. I see. I told you that. It is inherited.
So, yeah.
I'm a youth leader in our church. I'm Zaun International Ministries in Pinewood.
Oh.
So I help the youth. I mentor them, counsel youth from ages 16 straight up to 30.
Okay.
I'm 24.
All right.
So I've come in contact with so much different situations, especially in the area of Pinewood.
Yeah, and especially in the area of Pinewood. That's the inner city also.
So much different situations where teens dealing with rape within the household. They dealing with abuse, being bullied in school, situations like that. I had to use the Bible to teach them moral principles,
wow.
just to mentor them.
Yes.
You know, and the one thing I can say is that love, when you show them love.
Yeah. Oh, my brother. Yes. That is the key.
When you show them love, it changes their day for the better. It changes their day for the better. And I've learned to work with people of all ages. So no matter what they going through within their personal life, I can help them with that. And I definitely wouldn't turn a blind eye. Never. I would not turn a blind eye if I was to see something taking place within the party that is not moral. I would definitely pull that person aside and say, hey, this wasn't right.
Yeah.
Try to guide them on the right path.
Most definitely.
And be discreet about it. Because if they can't trust you,
mm-hmm.
then how can they confide in you?
So I'm going to call you on the side.
Right.
I'm going to call you on the right. side, respect you as an individual.
Right. No matter what they're going through.
We're going to have a meal.
Yes.
Or drink a cup of coffee.
And talk about the situation. You know?
Talk first.
Uh-huh.
Let me talk. I be quiet. And then you listen.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's what we need to come through.
That's right. Because when circumstances take place and personal issues that is unbearable, it can cause a serious problem. You ever had the same pressure boy spike?
Yes, it does. It does. It does.
So it does. Can cause a serious issue.
Yes.
Not only in their personal life, but within the party.
Yes.
And when false information spread, that's a serious situation. So my job, I must take seriously and make sure be discreet about it. Don't judge no one. And then at the same time, try to deal with it in the best moral way possible.
Right. And yeah. You said discreet, you know, and we must be mindful when you said discreet. Remember, God tell you pray in the closet.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Why right. Why tell you do that?
Yeah.
He ain't right. tell you go on the road and preach.
That's
why
right.
tell you in the closet? Because you got to be discreet.
Yeah. Not everyone can handle what you're going through, dude.
Ah, you're right. You're right, my brother. I want to congratulate your parents, yeah. man.
Thank you.
You was a very humble young man, you know.
Oh,
and
then
you said that I had a feeling like you was you was a generation who... Who family came from that type of teaching because you could right. see it on you. So,
oh, I appreciate
see,
it.
The aura.
Yeah, most definitely.
It's the aura. Yeah. See, an individual gives an aura.
Yes, sir.
It's like this. I learned something, you know. I would be sitting down in the streets, right?
Uh-huh.
And the dog would be sitting down beside of me. And then people would pass the street. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, someone would come down the street who... A bad spirit. Mm. And this dog would just, you know, like, he ain't do this to the first four or five persons, though.
Mm.
It's the aura. See, the dog sense danger or sense wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it's the aura. Sometimes it's good. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's bad.
That's
you
right.
understand what I'm saying? Mm. But at the end of the day, you guys, I can see y'all giving up some good aura.
Well, at the end of the day, you know, it takes a lot to do what we do, and it takes a lot to do what we intend to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the requirements would be facilities to be able to operate, transportation for persons, refreshments, supplies, volunteers, members, and sponsorship, really. And so, yeah.
So that's what y'all need for the young ladies now.
Right. So while we're on the radio, we can say we need donations. So if anyone wants to donate to the Progressive Young Liberals, you can contact me at 423-9197 and make your donation. And the donation doesn't necessarily have to be cash. It can be anything in terms of pens, notepads, snacks, drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Because like at any program we have, we intend to serve our people refreshments and so they can, you know, be well received. Yeah,
because you got to show people their appreciation now because people are coming from a very long way.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Hard time.
Yeah.
You know, so
exactly.
the snacks and things are to be appreciated
right.
because,
right.
you know, at the end of the day, you know, people ain't just coming for the snacks and whatever, but boy, things look tough. So,
right.
Yeah.
So they could use the snacks, the food, you know, the drinks. You know, it's necessary. Mm-hmm. I know this because when I was coming up and certain programs I would go to
yes.
and they would feed us afterwards, it was so necessary because really and truly we didn't have nothing to eat. And so a lot of kids would come to these programs, even at the school, they wouldn't have lunch. So when we would have our programs and we feed them, that would be a big thing because most of them didn't have lunch. Mm-hmm. And so I understand that, you know.
I want to say thanks to your parents, mm-hmm. man. Again,
thank you.
Mr. and Mrs. Bo?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'd like to say you have a very, very good son. You're proud of him already. Yeah. I think that he's going to do wonderful things because I think that he understands the need, you know, because he lives in Pinewood Garden. And we know about the abuse you talked about in the homes. We know about the murders that is happening in these inner city communities of Pinewood and all around Nassau, you know. And if we put the right programs in place in these communities and the right resources, we can see a completely 100 change around, you know, and get the guys who are doing all this shooting, mm-hmm. you know, we get less of those guys living in our community because they would have the opportunity now from a kid to a teenager to a young man, all the opportunities possible, you know, mm-hmm. In that community. Because you're saying now you're not taking the the horse to the well no more.
Yeah. We're saying we're not going to say we're not forcing the horse to the well. We're actually going to force the horse.
Okay, bye.
Because we know that he needs the water, you know, and if he doesn't get it, he's going to die. So we're going to force the horse in terms of providing stipends for clothing, providing food, mm-hmm. providing transportation, all the necessary things that takes to get that person to our programs and be a part of our programs. That's what we aim to do, you know, because last time we had our program, certain persons didn't have clothing. Certain persons didn't have transportation.
To get there.
Right. They didn't have $1 and $2 to get back and forward. And this is a serious thing. It might seem small to many, but it's a serious problem for many Bahamians who were a part of our programs. And so we're going to provide all those stipends to make it you know, feasible for Bahamians to, you know, attend our programs and enjoy our programs.
Yeah. And I'd like to say this to the leaders of the party. Listen to the young man, Mr. Bo. And Mr. Boeing's in studio. He's the chairman of the Young Liberals, and they're both partners in it. They're the next leaders of the country. One saying he don't want to be a politician, pastor. You know, you're going to be a pastor one day. I think that your endorse and hard work in the community would probably one day lead you to that door. But when you get to that door, you'd be developed enough to know that, hey, what needs to be done in your particular community order to curb the poverty, curb the crime issue, you know, and curb the suffering that goes on in our country on a daily basis. Because I always say this to the general public. At the end of the day, it feels like a mother and a father, every week or every 3 months, we are going to have a tragic event like this year. And it's all around the country. You know, family this way, 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 family Freeport, you know. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, if you look at it, it's like each household have the blood of the lamb on it, you know. Like, you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I got you.
Everyone is getting a pinch of this pain, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to do something to curb it, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
We get it on the police force with the abuse. And mind you, we need the police officers to corner act. Mm-hmm. To go look for the culprits who committed this heinous crime.
Most definitely.
And at the same time, this person who committed this heinous crime, he caused a lot of suffering and pain in the country. But when we look at his life, and I'm not giving him the right for when he pulled the trigger, because I'm not even interested in that, because I heard that they were shooting, and the bullets went through the house and shot the woman, kid, and then injured the next two. And I heard that all our kids. All our kids, you know. I think all the pastors in that community. I think the representative, the candidate, or whoever, y'all just go with open arms and hug her and just get groceries and have a counselor there. And not one time, you know, she gonna need you every day, you know, because, you know, and then all those other mothers, you know. Mm. And then you guys, see if y'all gotta set up a program. See, because I'm creative, you know. So let me give you all a little bit of advice.
Okay, let me write it down.
you guys that are young liberals,
yes,
you're going to have candidates running for the Progressive Liberal Party, and if they are successful on winning the next general election, mm-hmm. in their respective communities, they're going to have tragedies like this.
Yeah.
So you guys got to have a plan, say that for loved ones got killed in these communities, mm-hmm. that you'll have a program set up to monitor them, that the party would focus on these issues and see how best you could go forward and help these families and then help that mm-hmm. particular community, because mm-hmm. it doesn't happen once. And then just focus on it, because it's a repeated crimes happening.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
focus on the family,
right.
you know, and be there for them, you know. Mm-hmm. You see? Mm-hmm. And you guys, like, when you get elected, mm-hmm. right? Election is over after you get elected. But you guys, as the young liberals, y'all going to continue working up to the 4 years.
Right.
See, y'all non-stop for you guys.
Right. Yeah.
You know, y'all are young liberals. Who all is young liberals? Y'all job is to get the funding from the top
yeah.
and to keep on working.
That's right.
Yeah. Keep on working. You know, give the party structure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make mm-hmm. the young liberals strong in the country by them working from after election mm-hmm. till it's time to... run again for a re-election.
That's right.
Yeah.
I see producers saying we have to take a break. So we're going to take a break. Okay. And we'll be right back on that's Inside that. The Inner City. I'd like to say, my guests, y'all doing a wonderful job.
Appreciate it.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone. What you mean? He take picture of that good-for-nothing boy? Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child. So what he doing in Junior phone? Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list. Wanted persons in your phone now? Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone. There is also a section on missing persons. Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system. Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
It's happening, and it's all straight talk with no chaser. As Stephen Miller is unleashed on your radio each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's going to be smart talk, ideas, and innovation. Each weekday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., only on Guardian Radio, your station for fresh news and smart talk. Trust me. You're not going to want to miss this.
Morning Blend Business.
The economy.
Finance.
Business.
Industry.
Government sector.
Private sector.
Financial services.
Tourism.
Personal finance.
Investing advice.
Consumer issues. Consumer rights.
Trends and business opportunities.
Morning Blend Business. Following Morning Blend every weekday from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
It takes a village to raise a child, and it takes each and every one of us to grow the Bahamas. On the clock, we dive into the stories, we identify the issues, and we engage the people, organizations, and institutions that keep the country running. On the clock with Aaron Green, weekdays 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Today.
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texting.
Brought to you by UB Radio
and Guardian Radio 96.9.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
We're back on Guardian Radio 96.9. It's a wonderful Friday night. We have two wonderful guests in studio, and they're doing a wonderful job. Like I said, I think that in the near future, we really need to let the younger generation be really creative. They're part of such great organization. The organization also got to listen to the young people in the party, because the young people sometimes could have the answers to the party, but you're too stubborn to listen.
That's right.
You know, and that's what's going on now in these political parties today. You know, there are a lot of great poisons in the parties, and we could see, but sometimes we just don't listen because we like to have things our way. We want to be a dictator, and when you be a dictator, everything crumble.
And that's one of the things, Scrooge, I like about our leader, because he's showing what the democratic process is all about when it comes to the candidate process now we have in the PLP. Everyone has an opportunity to present themselves as an aspirant candidate.
That's right.
But we allow the persons in that community, that constituency, to pick their candidate. And that's so great. We are seeing the democratic process at work,
yeah.
You know, real talk.
And this is to show you, we change from the fact that you just can't be appointed,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Now it's right.
That's what democracy is.
So like.
That's
can democracy. You applaud Mr. Davis for implementing the process?
For that. But, yes, I have to, because you guys are the studio, and I have to endorse you guys. You know, I have to endorse you. I can't endorse nobody else. I have to endorse you guys, because you guys are here. You're making sense. And if change is to come, I think your experience with my own eyes have shown me that you care about the youngsters of this country based on your program. And that was not a PLP program. That was your program, which has been very successful. I wouldn't have come.
COVID-19 stop us.
Yeah, I wouldn't have come to any one of those if I fell otherwise.
Right, exactly.
I wouldn't have come. I saw the need, and then I saw the faces of the kids. And by that deed you did, it shows you what you truly want to accomplish. Mm-hmm. You really want to help people, you know? And I, why, that's great.
Yeah.
So you want to add something on?
We also want to link with the churches and then work with their youth. So any church that wants to partner with us, PYL, they could contact Ahmad Burns by the same number.
Yeah, 423-9197. Braxton, you can give them your number too.
437-6323. They can partner with PYL. we want to work with their youth group, you know, and empower their youths as well. And then their youths can also partake in opportunities that PYL will be offering, such as jobs, scholarships, as well as the mentoring program. And then all the training programs as well. So all of those who wants to be a part of PYL, please join, because there's many opportunities, many, many opportunities being a part of PYL, being financial. The
party's financial fee. Y'all are committed to this now. Really,
yes,
put in power.
Yes,
with
it. Exactly. The financial fee is $5 a month. It's just $5 a month to be a member, financial member. So those who are listening who wants to be a part of PYL, please join, because I promise you there's many opportunities in PYL.
Yeah, and it's not like we're in PYL pushing the party's agenda down your throat. We're helping. We're developing young persons. And if you decide that I like this party because they've been helping us, they've been developing me, they've been putting resources into my growth, then and you want to vote for them, that's your choice.
That's right. That's
but
right.
Our main objective, whether you're FNM, PLP, DNA, or any other affiliation, we don't care. Our aim is to develop young persons and help them be productive citizens in society.
And let them choose. Let them pick and choose.
You can choose whatever you want.
Let them pick and choose.
Our aim is to help you. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So that is a bold statement there.
Yeah,
that's you really, really are. You really are for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
See, well, you know, the new talk around the PLP is we Bahamians first. So the thing we want to do is help Bahamians.
That's right.
You know. So I could only follow in the footsteps now of my leaders. And like I tell you, I really believe in my leader.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. So let me just say this. You guys have an opportunity. Just let me tell you, let's brainstorm.
Okay.
Let me just brainstorm. See, I'm just going to use myself for example. I never thought I was going to be in the position I was in today. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how God has changed you.
That's right.
I'm not a Christian, you know. I'm not a Christian, but I am a believer. I believe that I'm doing God's work. Mm-hmm. I believe in Christ. I believe in Abraham, Moses. You know, I believe in this. That's why I always tell people this. See, that's my favorite thing. This is my favorite song. Father Abraham had many sons. Had many sons like Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right and left on. You know what that means? God told Father Abraham his seed to be spread amongst the stars, like the stars, and that's us as a people. And we have to help one another.
That's
empowerment.
That's right.
Every political party now, it's their job now, is to empower the next generation.
That's right.
My request to you guys, that's one of the requests, start a program like that, but also make sure that if y'all are successful in becoming the next government, make sure make representation that in each community, they have an empowerment center with funds for those who are serious. Now listen to me. Mm-hmm. It's just like a community center.
Mm-hmm.
All right? But there's some barbers. There's some persons who have tuck shops home.
Yeah.
There's some, you know, there's some person who good with their nails.
Mm-hmm.
There's some person who could bake. There's some person who could start a small breakfast stall on the side of their house.
Most definitely.
That's right.
Encourage each member of parliament who wins. And the opposition. Encourage your leader that when he, if he becomes the next leader of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, make it his priority, even if the opposition is in. The same program that he has for his sitting ministers, he provide the same opportunity for the opposition. Because we don't want to say we're going to victimize the member of parliament. He is a member of parliament. So what I'm saying is this. For each constituency that is large, there should be a business center set up. Instead of me having to go sign up what's the center name down here on Blue Road? Across from Super Walu. It's a former member of parliament. He has to send the business center. I can't remember his name.
You mean that?
Edmund Moxie. The Edmund Moxie.
Cultural center.
Cultural center, but it's an entrepreneur business center where you go to start small business. We need those in those communities that those MP reside. So that's what I'm saying to you. If you were successful in winning Bantan has over 30 to 40,000 people.
We have to be successful.
The
need is great.
So in a community like that, that needs about 4 to 6 to 8 small business development centers strategically put in those community. We're going to start some people in this area. You come here for this particular area, and if you like to start a small convenience store, come to us. But you have to be serious. You have to make sure your corner clean. You have to make sure that there's no one selling no drugs.
That's right.
Hey, there's no altercation. You know what I mean? And you know, you understand what I'm saying?
I understand exactly what you're saying.
Then down the road, there's a barber who needs to start a barber shop. He has a host. He can get some money from the business center that is available for him from the MP, and that the government or the Commonwealth of Arms provide the funds. And he himself can set up his small little barbershop, eh? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about...
That's why we have a grant system for $5,000 unsecured for legitimate small businesses through the SBDC. Once repaid in full, automatically you will be eligible for a $10,000 loan.
A large amount. Well,
yeah.
From $5,000 to $10,000.
Right.
Yeah.
So these some of the things will be have in place. These some of the things. And in addition, like I was saying, the remote careers, as I said before,
We want to link behemoths to opportunities all over the world. The pandemic accelerated a shift to remote work for many global companies. You know, so these
and I think that could also help with decreasing what you call the brain drain. Because if young behemoths could have this opportunity to work from home, now they can do possibly anything now.
That's right.
You understand?
Right.
So they could come back home, work from where they are, and still get the same benefits. You see? So
because we look at it. Just say if I'm running a convenience store and I'm getting the $5,000 loan.
Right.
In the United States of America, right, I just could open a detergent store that sells detergent, bleach,
right,
you know, soap, towel, and et cetera. And I could set up a small business there, right? And I could go to the States. I get what they call now a tax exemption, right, right coming through,
right?
Right? And then with the small business thing, with information and benefits, you should be able to get your stuff back here. And the thing is, your $5,000 we take to the States will actually bring you back about $40,000 to $50,000 worth of stuff with that. And then you can come here and sell them, because you can come here and sell them at the cheapest price, because I ran over to the States and I bought a jacket. And the jacket cost $24. So I came over here and I saw the same jacket, you know, the jacket cost $184.
Wow. I believe you.
Yeah, the tennis what I buy on my foot.
I
went to the store and I spent $100. The store gave me two tennis for the $100, right? So I went in the store and I bought a tennis. So you could start your own tennis store, man, with the same $5,000 in your own community, but just be the cheapest. So there's so many small businesses you can open in the community. That's why it's important you guys really put it in their mind to say, hey, if we're successful in winning, we need to build some small business community centers in this community. And those citizens most who are serious and wants the proper training about money management and you're dedicated to this, hey, we want to make sure that you be able to save money.
Yes.
Because they say more than 90% of the Bahamian population don't have
85%.
85% don't have $1,000 in the bank.
Right, in savings.
You can imagine that. So it's time that even though you're making money, you got to be learning how to save.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, you got to learn about when you buy something, what is the profit? Because you think that someone come to your store, oh, I short a 25 cent. Now I said you can't be kind-hearted. Right. But that 25 cent you think ain't hurting you? At the end of the day, if you add it up in a year, how many people you let go to 25 cents?
Yes, we're talking about that.
You would like the norms of this.
Right, and as a matter of fact, we're doing a financial money management workshop.
See, this is very important. Yeah. You guys are on the right track. See, this is change. See, people listening to all the politicians out there and talk about all the stuff. This is the real change here. Because this benefits to be him. And if we could train our citizens that way, that finance rate, like what we just talked about.
We're going to be focusing on financial literacy, so you could tell them, Brad.
So with a small business, you're teaching the finance.
Right.
See,
right.
I'm saying all this stuff. This is what I'm doing in my community, you know.
Just today, we was talking about that. We was talking about saving. No matter, let's say you're making $200 a week.
Right.
You should at least save $20 of that.
That's right.
Or $50 of that, depending on the size of your bills.
Yes.
Definitely save something out of it, and then in the long run, even if it's a small amount, you would end up saving at the end of the month. It don't matter. 6 months' time, you will see it increasing more and more and more and more and more. So saving is very important, because you don't know when you may need it for a rainy day.
Yes.
You don't know when you may need it, for instance, like this pandemic. A lot of people, I sure wish they had saved, they would have saved much more.
Yes. Yes.
For this pandemic right now, what is taking place. So saving is very important, and that's why we want to do the money management workshop.
That's very important.
Right.
That is important.
Because in a sense, you're teaching somebody to have a business if they're not saving. It doesn't make no sense. They're going to crash.
And we're not in finance, but we have friends who are bankers.
Yeah.
And we have no persons in the party who are in the financial services industry.
Yeah.
And so we will partner with them to show you what is really correct and how to go about saving and managing your money.
And why it's so important.
And why it's so important.
I learned from Miss Elaine Pendley, you know.
Oh, Bamushak, right?
She teach me something. She says, Scrooge, when I first started as paying rent, I started off with two deep fryer.
Yeah.
You know what I say? Now the woman's a millionaire.
Yes.
You know what I say? Two deep fryer.
Yes.
Right down your Nassau Street.
It don't matter where you start from, it matter where you finish.
And that, you know, and that conversation about the savings, we actually had that conversation about that program with someone in leadership. I don't want to call names, But that's how we you can tell what they're thinking, because that conversation about simple saving we had with a person in leadership.
Write it down. 85% of the Bahamian people who reside in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas don't have $1,000 in their savings. This is supposed to be a statistic as well as the high unemployment in the country. These statistics and also the high crime rate. These things here is what's supposed to be number one priority, because if we get, listen to this, 85% of the Bahamian population don't have $1,000, right? But if we look at how much money gets sent to the United States of America, to England, to Haiti and Jamaica, we'd cry. So that's why a lot of poverty is going on, because the money is here. The Bahamas is one of the richest Caribbean countries.
Yeah.
But the money is not staying in the hands of Bahamians. The money is going out to support other people's family.
That's right.
You know?
You're right.
Bahamians don't send money out the country. You understand? We pay people. We spend to the Chinese. We spend to downtown Nassau. And that money is banked up, and that goes out the country for those persons who are family. What we call them? Nationals. What do they say? Let me see what they, how I was gonna say it. Okay. Descendants. You know, and then you send the money to your people then. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, family members.
Family members. You could be here in the country, but you're shipping your money out to your family members.
That's right.
You understand? So the money what you make here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you take that, you get dollar for dollar. And you ship that back to your family. So the money is leaving the country. We got to find a way for us to get this 85% of Bahamians to have at least $100,000, $200,000, some even millions in on their bank account.
Yeah.
See, that's the biggest change. That's what the biggest change got to come from.
Economic empowerment.
That's right. That change all that. That take away that 10-year-old getting killed.
Yes.
That take away that young man who shot that 10-year-old for even committing that crime. See, you got to look at the beginning. And you got to look at the end. See, there's a beginning to that young man who pulled that trigger.
Yeah.
Like I said, he was a baby. Something went wrong. Something went wrong.
That's right.
You know? But that don't give him the right to did what he did.
No.
Something went wrong in his life cause him to do that.
Right. So you got to find out why.
That's
right.
And if we all know why, it's poverty. It's poverty. Poverty adds up to all of
money.
Yeah.
Lack of money is a serious problem. Just from canvassing, I've seen so much different problems that people have been facing within the household, from canvassing alone. You know, people don't have no food in the fridge.
How much people live in those?
About 8 people.
And no food in those?
No food in the fridge.
So you can
from
imagine.
Canvassing. So people, no fridge, gas.
No light.
No gas, light off. Some people water off. So people suffering right now under this current administration, people are suffering bad.
I agree.
You could witness.
You could witness
because you say
I agree.
Lennon
Bahamas and many organizations that even the government assists with. Yes, poisons over there. They're sleeping in the car.
And then listen, that's the people who say they sleeping in cars. There's a lot who don't want to say it.
Right.
Don't want to come out and say it.
Yeah.
So this is proof that this current administration, this government, is not for Bahamians.
I see the guy sleeping on Nassau Street graveyard the other day.
Jesus.
Wow. And you know, some persons are saying you can't blame Minis because he had Hurricane Dorian and he had COVID-19. But there's a small saying I learned some time ago. You know, a pilot can't be judged based on the weather conditions he finds himself in, but how he handles that plane once he's in those conditions. And so, yes, Mr. Minis had the COVID-19. Yes, he had Dorian, but he handled it poorly.
Yeah.
I can really say that he handled it poorly. I have friends who have been affected. Their businesses have been killed. Friends are out of work for so long. You know, we don't know what's going to happen.
All the bars closed down in the country.
So,
you know,
and they need small businesses.
The hairdressers and the barbers, all those are closed down for about
so
six,
long.
7 months.
And it's crazy, you know, Bahamians are going crazy. I learned today that someone actually almost burned themselves alive because they weren't able to take care of their kids. You remember that story?
Yeah.
Hey,
We talk about that today.
We talk about that today. Someone actually try and kill themselves.
Listen. Freeport.
Listen.
So
your loved one is turning against you. You can imagine have a woman right now who used to just scribing. Now all of a sudden, everything stopped. You could be the best man in the world, and she might cope with you as long as you know, but boy, when that light cut off and that stomach started to growl and those kids say, "Mommy, I'm hungry," that man got so much pressure. He can't do construction where he can't cut hair. He can't go fishing. Mm-hmm. He can't go to nobody because everyone's struggling right now.
Yeah.
So, buddy.
Mm-hmm. But
boy,
if you could correct me, I could commend payments because I think robberies are actually down. Even though we're going through such hard times, I don't hear so much robberies and all these things reported.
It's what kind of robberies you think about.
Okay.
You know, people doing a lot of stealing car batteries, all kinds of
like
stuff.
Petty stealing.
Yeah, petty stealing going a lot of that stuff.
I don't want to say I want to indulge in all that kind of thing, but I mean, with this government being so oppressive, what could you expect from Bahamians, right? What could you expect? The only thing we could do as citizens is to try to provide other avenues from which they can take with our limited resources. Mm-hmm. But, what could you do?
All I can say is there's people who committed suicide because things so tough. Listen, boy, things tough out there.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough, It's tough. We got to look at our country in a different way because if we say we for the people, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got to look at when we see the coconut guys.
Mm-hmm.
We got to look at the reports on the TV when we see the woman them getting locked up for stealing
small and the coconut groceries. Guys still didn't get their coolers and
we see
umbrellas yet.
We see, I think, it's a supervisor in Commonwealth Bank get charged for stealing a couple $1,000, and then she admitted to court she steal it because she had to pay her bills, and she was working, right? You can imagine she has a position in the bank, and she used that position to steal, but she didn't use it to steal. If you listen to what she used the money, if she used her job to steal for, she said she wanted to help her family.
Right.
So like you say, we have to ask the why.
We have to ask the why.
That's right.
The why means that the Bahamas cost of living, I think we're sixth or fifth in the world.
It's exactly six.
You can imagine that. You can imagine that in this kind of time when we have been locked down for most nine months, till what time it was? 10 o'clock, and then it was earlier.
I think it's at 5 at some point.
There's how much longer it was. We've been so mixed up, and that has had an effect on us because so much husband and wife have divorced or not getting along, boyfriend and girlfriend. So much tears going to spoil, all kind of sweetheart getting exposed. Yeah. Go on, I did do some good stuff,
Yeah.
Wouldn't get catched. Well, listen, I was listening to some police. Some police, and they get some call. My boy Marco tell me get some call. My boy Marco got that. He's a sergeant, so he was working on the Royal Bahamas band. So they transfer him from the Royal Bahamas band to mobile to man the streets. And he said he was getting calls, and sometimes he get calls where the guy married and his wife called the police because he called the police because he won't get out of the house to go by his sweetheart. And his wife didn't let him go because he get catch, you see? You know what I mean? That time when he's supposed to be out around that time on the job around 10 or 11 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah.
That you can't happen no more because now you're supposed to be inside 6 o'clock. Now you need to really get out. And the wife tell them, you can't be working. You go to slow down, guys. You see, I care so much. So he called him.
Just to get out of the house.
Yeah. Oh, my friend Marco was telling me the story. He's boiling his laugh, boy. Listen, boy, so with COVID-19, it put a little on us, though.
Yeah, no joke.
Yeah, but we have to do better, man. When we really have to take a look, man. A lot of suffering going on in this country, man. You know? And as leaders, it's no time to be taking no photo ops because people have lost their lives because of suicide. Thousands of people, Bahamian people, got put out of their apartment.
That's right.
And some of the owners gave these people 6-7 months. But the owners who own these apartments can't even take it themselves because that's their life saving when they invest in their apartments. So they only could go so long.
Facts.
You see, some of them still could be paying a mortgage on their apartment building. They still had a good heart. You know, some had a good heart. You know, the problem is they didn't have a good heart, but many of the tenants, the owners, they had a good heart for them.
the tenants.
Yeah.
Well, because they know they was paying on time, but they know the COVID-19 messed up everything. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And they did it for so long, mm-hmm. but then if you listen to some of the persons who live out of out of their tenants, out of their apartment, mm-hmm. they still said good things about the owner. They still said, he did his best or she did her best. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been 7 months. What do you expect? I can't stay in the place no more because they have to make their money for them. So they have to pay the light bill and all this stuff. So I can't blame them. They gave me a long, they gave me enough time, you know. So I have no ill will towards them. And some owners even tell the people, stay there as long as you want and then do the back rent whenever you get a chance. Some tell them, say, don't pay at all because you being a loyal a tenant to me, you know. Mm-hmm. You never laden, so... You know, and I know you ain't working no more, so I got mercy on you. So, you know what I mean?
Mm.
You want to say anything else? Because we get a few more minutes.
Well, if you want to donate to PYL, you can call 423-9197. That's my cell. I'm the chairman of the Progressive Young Liberals. My name is Ahmad Burns. And also, if you want to donate, you can donate notepads, snacks, drinks, all of those things. Mm. Yeah.
Braxton Bow, I serve as chaplain of PYL, and it was a pleasure being here. And please, those who want to join, please contact Ahmad as soon as possible, quick as possible, become financial. PYL is offering many opportunities, many.
And like I said, change could come.
That's right.
I work with Mrs. Wilson, Cheryl Wilson, and we brought change. I work with the Minister of National Security, Tommy Tynecrest. And a lot of stuff was passed in House Assembly just because of partnership with these youth organizations and partnering with community leaders. So you guys are young.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, there was many things we talked about today, and you all have them
mm-hmm.
as part of your all curricula.
Yep.
And that's your all agenda. That when you all get in, you all talked about the small business development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We talked about in empowerment,
mm-hmm.
you know. And well, like I said, keep in mind, if you're successful in winning the next general election, all those MP in their seat, make sure that these programs go in their respective community.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Let them know this is your mandate. Mm-hmm. Right? Y'all get a team of people. We're going to go down to work with the young liberals, and they're going to be my eyes and ears, and they're going to be my liaison officers.
Yeah.
Because they know what needs to get done in Pinewood. They know what needs to get done in Dayton. They need to know what needs to get done in Grandstand. Okay?
Yeah.
We need to empower people. Okay? We need to put programs in the area.
Most definitely.
You understand? Pay attention to utilize all the parks year-round for different sports activity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If there's community leaders in these areas who are doing great work in their community, you guys have to get them involved and provide funding for them and partnership with them because those community leaders that reside in those communities, they have programs. They're giving it all. With your assistance, we could even have a better, stronger,
more comprehensive programs.
Right. Program. Yeah. And you knock all the sports. You wouldn't hit one part of Bayonetown. You would hit Bayonetown this way. You'd hit Bayonetown this way. You'd hit Bayonetown this way. So everyone's getting in touch with the small business development. Mm-hmm. I don't need to come from Finnison's Creek.
Because that's dangerous for some persons in the
neighborhood. Come in Grandstand to come to the small business development. Mm-hmm. We need to have this, like, taking it to work. Would you all say it was going to take it?
Yeah, so we're going to force the horse to the well to drink.
Force the horse.
That's right.
Because we know he needs that water.
That's right.
So you can imagine having a small business development program in the community where you all have two guys and people say, we don't see the barbershop. We don't see the small bakery.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Then two more come. When you look, you say, we're going to help your boy with his breakfast. You know what he's make a week now? Huh? He could take care of himself. He make $1,000. And he's going to increase because he's going to get ready to expand. Like I said, Ms. Pender start off from nothing. PUD Bakery, which is a multi-million-dollar bakery, start off with one little small little speck.
Wow.
I grew up in the back of PUD Bakery, and I can tell you it was one little small little, just one little small thingam like that. One little small one room thingam. And then they expand and they expand. Now it's a multi-million business.
Yeah.
That's why the programs you guys are talking about is very important. Mm-hmm. And if you guys could be the eyes and ears of the party and hope that the leaders to the top understand the need for you guys to actually be the ones to implement this the party. Work year-round. You know, don't never stop. The young liberals are supposed to work in year-round and they're supposed to be properly funded from the leaders because you guys are actually doing the grand work. And this work, what y'all doing on the ground, could actually help the sitting MPs because this is what people need to understand. If you're the MP, you have the young liberals, you have community leaders, and they're partnership with these community leaders.
Mm-hmm.
it makes your job easy as an MP, because now all those programs you are speaking for when you go to Parliament. Mm-hmm. So you're going to go to Parliament. You're going to say, okay, I'm here today. I need a budget.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Burns runs a program, and I think he needs about $60,000 a year around. Game of sniping for himself. Mm-hmm. He needs about $10,000-$15,000 a year for himself. Mm-hmm. And then we give a sniping for the kids to make sure they have adequate tennis and et cetera.
Right.
You understand? Then we get the church. Mm-hmm. The church just programmed. But the church could also be the place where we could do the back to school. So we got a partnership in the back to school so we can deal with that particular area. So you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So we have everyone on board.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the MP, he could just come and make a presentation. Mm-hmm. Because you know why? He went and spoke for a budget in Parliament. He received that budget, and he disposed that budget to each and every one of those community leaders, along with the church and all the programs that go in actively. Mm-hmm. And that makes the community stronger and makes the MP stronger.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so we want to encourage everyone out there to, regardless of party, whoever you vote for, go and register to vote, because you cannot make change happen if you're not registered to vote. So register to vote.
Anything else?
I just want to make one quick point.
Go ahead.
People have to notice what is happening with their social mobility. And they have to ask the question if it's moving or if it is being stalled. If it's stalled from 2017 up to now, they have to say, listen here, this current administration
got to go.
They got to go. They have to go. If it's being stalled from that time to now, it got to go.
Yes.
Got to go. And for some people, as far as when you was talking about, let me just backtrack a bit, people who got thrown from out of their apartments or whatever place they was renting. The rent relief program at social services, some people have to wait 4 months.
That can't work.
5 months.
Can't work. Too long.
I know some people
who too long.
Has not received too anything. Long.
Just like national insurance benefits.
Yeah. And this is a serious issue, a serious matter that people need to think about to say, hey,
you can't do
I
like
want
that.
This for another five?
You can't do people
yes.
like that.
No.
And then the young people don't have no opportunities. Opportunities as being stalled.
COVID-19 slowed down everything.
Yeah. You know, I graduated from the University of the Bahamas last year, June, with my bachelor's degree in electrical engineering technology.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you. And as far as opportunities.
None? Even with your bachelor's?
Job. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Job opportunities.
So we have to create.
The problem is so serious. People have to think about it and say, hey, do I want another 5 years of this?
Because we're killing yourself laughing, bro.
Yeah, man. No, because
it just makes so much sense. Why? You don't want another 5 years.
No, you don't want another 5 years.
Horrible, oppressive government.
No, you don't want another 5 years of this. This. I said like this. People got to think about this. Their children, from canvassing, every parent I've spoken to.
I know.
90% of their children. Jobless.
And Shrewd, you say, you asked me earlier, why should you believe me and what I was dealing with?
Let me
tell you why you should believe the PLP. Just like I said, I was dealing with things and helping the person out of my own pocket. When you look at the history of the PLP and what we've implemented over time, NIB, which is the glue of our society, the Defense Force, right?
Mm.
The guardians of our borders, BTVI, right? The institution that trained most of our technical people that build our nation.
Right.
And then we look at COB and then we transition to UB. So the PLP has been focused on people.
That's right.
From time to come. So when you talk about who you should trust, check our history, check our playbook. We're with the people. we've been developing the people.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. But I think you guys are going to do well and help push your agenda.
Definitely.
And I think most poison right now, I talking to people, I'm going to be honest. I travel, and everyone talks about the downfall and the struggle right now with this government. Mm. You know, I think it's going to be, boy, I don't know.
They say, man, it's got to go. Man, it's got to go.
I know. Coming me all the time, eh? Okay, I just want to say to you guys, you all did a wonderful job. To the leaders of the party, you need to support the young liberals. You know, they're doing a fantastic job. You have the chaplain in place. You have Mr. Burns in the studio. And I think that he spoke highly about the party. They talked about the great programs they would implement if they were to become the next government of the country. So, leader, make sure that you look after these young men so that they can be able to pass some of these programs down to the less fortunate and help us change the country, you know? What y'all guys say? PLP, let me hear it, boy. Let me hear it. PLP.
All the way.
PLP.
All the way.
Good night, people. Enjoy your night. Ain't no love in the heart of the city. Ain't no love in the heart.